Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 239. What is going on? I am Matt O'Leary alongside Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I had a big day from my childhood today. So I was telling you before we got on, I ordered a bunch of Pokemon cards for my kids. They're really, really into it. And so I bought a booster box. It's like a box of those packs, those individual packs. 36 packs. When they saw that, they went absolutely nuts. Because when I was a kid, you'd get like one pack of cards and that would be your thing for like 2 years.
Yes.
To have a whole box of those? Holy Hannah. And it was wild. 360 cards, not a whole lot much in terms of value, but the value was the kids having a blast. Like, they'd open it and the first thing they'd see was, and they'd like lose their mind because they saw like Growlithe looking cool. So, good times.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's more about like, I don't know, just the experience of going through all the cards and kind of collecting it. Like, sure, like you have the guys like Gary Vee who are like trying to do the, it's all about the flip life. I'm going to sell it now on eBay and stuff like that. They just, yeah. They're kids. They just want to have fun and open the cards.
Exactly. So that's what we did. What about you? What'd you get up to today?
Not anything remotely close to that exciting. It was just a very boring Wednesday. It's been NFL free agency the last few days. So I was telling you, this was my good luck today. I released a video. I was like, okay, recapping the day kind of thing. And like, not even joking, like 3 minutes later, the Jets signed somebody. So I was like, well, I got to record this podcast with Mitch now. So I guess I'm doing that video tomorrow morning.
Fair enough. Yeah, a lot of moving parts going on there, right? Like, and the money. Oh, my God. The money that gets moved to these guys. It's insane. I see like a tight end getting $20 million. And I just say like, holy crap, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's very. We were talking beforehand, too, just comparatively league wise from if you don't follow the NFL and you only follow the NHL and you see a deal and you're like, huh. Aaron Rodgers is getting $50 million a year. That's like, what, more than half an NHL salary cap? That's wild.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's, what, two-thirds of it or something like that? That's insane. On one guy. Important guy, of course, or important role to be filling. But Jesus, Murphy, that's a lot of money.
Absolutely. So let's hop right into this episode, Mitch. We're going to go through a lot of different things today. First, we'll start on the positive side, because even though the Islanders lost last night, well, when we're recording this, by the time you're listening to this, it's probably 2 days ago at this point, but the Islanders offense has been performing very, very well recently, and we have some guys on a hot streak. So we wanted to go through and talk about some of the offensive performances. Who do you want to get us rolling with?
I think we have to start with Kyle Palmieri. Like, it really just starts with him.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he's got 10 goals on the year now. He had one in his first 29 games. So over the last 15, he has 9?
Yeah.
Jesus, that's
insane. It's stupid. It's so dumb. So I did that. I put that line in the sand, knowing that like Kyle Palmieri would be the first guy we talked to, mainly because I figured you'd pitch it to me first and I'd have first say. So my foresight was on point today.
Love it.
But I looked at natural stat trick and I put that line in the sand from the start of the season up till February 14th, so up until Valentine's Day, for a number of players. And we'll get through them as we go. And I just wanted to give that context because that's where the stats that I'm drawing from here. For Kyle Palmieri, through those first 29 games, not only just one goal, but only 6 assists. So 7 points through 29 games is not good, right? 7 over 29 is a 0.24 points percentage. Puts him on pace for rounding up to 20.
Oh, that's rough.
right? But then you figure the rest of it. Now you go to the other 15. He's got 9 goals and 4 assists, so 13 points over 15 games. That's much better. That puts you on pace for 71. Now, I don't think he's going to be a 71-point player, but you take the hot with maybe not so much of the cold, and you maybe got a 50-point player there. That's worth the $5 million that we're paying him.
Absolutely. I'll even say give me 45. Give me like 25 goals, 20 assists. Fine. Take it. Perfect. You have that in your middle six. Obviously, probably don't want that on your top line, which hopefully by the time next year rolls around, that's not a thing. But it's fine. You could live with that. And I think you kind of hit it on the head. It's just the lows were far too low. You can deal with a streaky player. I get it. But when you have, like we said, 1 goal in 29 games is just an insanely low number. You think the injury played a factor in that or just bad luck?
I think so. Who was it that said something about that? And by who, I mean someone on the Islanders. I don't know if it's Josh Bailey or someone else of that. Essentially someone like that. I forget who it was. Was it Bailey?
I think so.
Talking about specifically Kyle Palmieri's injury, saying like you don't know how long it takes to rehab from something like this and how you might be okay and you're fit to play, but it kind of irks you in different ways, right? And we all know that. We've all been through that. Like I slid down the hill just yesterday on my back with my kids multiple times. I was the sled head first and my shoulder is killing me. I felt fine after it happens, but my shoulder has been killing me all day and I'm sure it's going to kill me for like, I don't know, 10, 13, 15 days, just over 2 weeks is going to still kill me. These things tend to fester a little bit longer than we think, and we don't really realize how it materializes, right? Like when he takes a shot, he might feel a little bit of a tweak, and so he might not give it as much the next time out until he stops feeling a little kind of like pull or whatever.
Right, exactly. So obviously was nursing a little something there because almost inexplicable how snake bitten he was early on this year. But yeah, that's a good place to start too, because they really needed that all year long. If they got that kind of production from Kyle Palmieri, we're probably in a different conversation right now.
Yeah, we're probably not so far out of the playoff picture is the way that I would put it.
Right. Like I'm not saying they're first in the Metro or anything like that, but they are significantly more competitive because they didn't dig themselves as big of a hole earlier on.
Yeah, exactly, right? Because he alone, again, won't turn everything around. But the thought was when they signed him to that 4-year, $20 million deal is that we're getting a 20 to 25 goal scorer coming in to replace the 20 to 25 goal scorer essentially going out in Jordan Eberle. Well, coming in was Kyle Palmieri, and he was not, up until now, a 20 to 25 goal scorer. So that's a lot of goals already lost from a team who didn't score a whole lot to begin with.
Yeah.
Even with Eberle, right?
No, exactly. It's obviously wasn't great, but now, as we said, turning it around. So positive vibes. We had to start with him, as we said. So who do we want to get to next on this list?
I guess if we're looking at goals, it's going to have to be Anders Lee.
The man just won't stop scoring. Was it 8-4 or 8-5?
8-5.
Okay. 8-5.
4. Come on. Still, that's nuts, right? 8-5 is insane.
Yeah, and he was a little bit slow for a while, but he was sitting on like 14 goals, now up to 22 in 51 games. And that, I mean, that's not that bad of a pace, Mitch. If you go over a full 82-game season, that's 35 goals. I think everyone would sign up for a 35-goal Anders Lee.
Right. So the thing is that he wasn't terrible necessarily, but you're right. He's having one hell of a heater right now. Through the first portion of the season, so again, the line in the sand that I drew on Valentine's Day, he had 12. 12 goals to his name, which is good. Put him on pace for 27 goals over the year. Great. Well, he's done even better than that, right? Like now he's got 10 over 14 games played in that stretch, which is a pace of 59. Obviously, he's not going to score that because we're only pacing out a certain portion of the year. But it's wild. Like, he's doubling his return in terms of goal scoring over this portion of the year. What I would like to see is him have more assists. If that, let's say, he's got 2 fewer goals for 1 more assist, I'll take maybe, like, lose 2 goals. So have him at 6 and, let's say, 4. You know, you got 10 points over 14 games. I'd like to see a little bit of an evening out for Anders Lee, but I'll take it, obviously. Like, we'll take goals at this point.
Of course. But you're right. The 22 goals to 7 assists is just a bizarre ratio, even for someone like Anders Lee.
Yeah. So it hasn't been a complete 360 like Kyle Palmieri has done, but it's been one hell of a change. And you're going, all right, well, let's see if this continues. Hopefully so, with the goal scoring form he's in, because it's helping us, you know, bridge the gap between the playoff teams and us. Not that we expect them to actually make that jump into it, but if there was ever a hope, Anders Lee is providing us with one.
No, absolutely. And that's obviously a big thing, too, is while, yeah, they might have dug themselves too big of a hole and they're going to be out of it at this point, but if they could just finish the season strong and, you know, be competitive, almost like they were at the end of the 2016-17 season, that'd be nice. I'd sign up for that.
Yeah, because like we said a bunch of times, what we're looking for is to see, are these pieces actually underperforming, or is there a possibility that next year, or a possibility that what we saw for the first half of the year was just kind of some weird not playing or playing in a new barn, playing in during COVID and having COVID and being out and in and out and in type of thing? Is that all meshing together and there's still an actual good team under there? So far, we're seeing that it is. There is a good team under there, which is exactly what we were hoping to see going forward.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. So hopefully, obviously, that continues for Anders Lee and the rest of the team. Someone that I'd like to bring up, and not necessarily that they're scoring a bunch of goals, but just they are scoring a little bit more, but Josh Bailey's point production has skyrocketed, and we were hard on him, and I think deservedly so, but we have to show him some love now, too, as he's turned it around.
Yeah, like, the thing with Josh Bailey is it's always black and white, right? Forever and ever, amen. Either always sucked forever, or he's absolutely elite, and I know I'm guilty in drudging up the elite thing, but I think we all understand why I do it is because I hate the idea like Josh Bailey has been garbage his entire year or his entire career. That is not the case. No. And right now he is not that, right? 3 goals and 6 assists since February 14th, which may not sound like a ton, but that's 9 points over 12 games for Josh Bailey. 9 over 12, I would imagine if you did the math in your head, sounds good. That's a 62 point player right there.
Yeah. You sign up for that. And especially recently, I mean, he has a 4-game point streak. In 3 of those 4 games, they were multi-point games. He's been really, really good recently. And again, like, we were hard on him earlier in the year because he looked completely lost. But right now, he is looking like the player the Islanders were hoping they were going to get all year long from Josh Bailey. So, got to give him the hype.
Yeah, he's a middle six player in this roster, and he's producing like a middle six player. Yeah, he's got issues. They all do, right? Like sometimes you're going, why didn't you make that one play? But every single player on the face of the earth is going to be guilty of that. Not any player, not even Connor McDavid is going to be free from the what the hell were you doing here on that play. It's just for Bailey to maybe it was happening a little bit more frequently at the start of the year.
Yep.
And that's kind of gone away a little bit. He's still making mistakes, but that's why he's a middle six winger. That's what he's there to do. Smart player. They love playing with him. He was still on pace for a 47-point year at the beginning, if you only take his production up until February 14th. So that was 3 goals, 18 assists. What we're seeing now is that he's having more of a direct impact on the game instead of just kind of like being a passenger. And that's what we wanted to see from him. Not to say that he needs to dominate a game, but he needs to show up and help push the Isles forward, and he's helping them do that.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And I don't know. I just hope he continues to push that play forward. Even right now, the 6 goals in 49 games is still kind of low. You'd hopefully that goes up a little bit, and maybe it evens out over the course of the year. But I still am a believer that his role, especially going into next year, should be diminished a little bit more. Like, I think he's still a serviceable middle six player, but I don't think he needs to be like a power play guy or someone you're putting out in an empty net situation. But I think could have some value to your team even at 32.
Yeah, he should be a third line player. And at 32 with the guy with the way his career is going, yeah, of course. He should be on the third line playing third line minutes, helping them in on the PK and maybe a power play shift here or there if they need a different look, but not full time. Like, you're definitely the guy going over. And 6-on-5. What are we doing here? 6-on-5. It cannot happen.
No, definitely not. Who else do you want to get into here?
There's one last guy I wanted to get into, and at least myself, maybe there's one more that you want to get into, and it's Anthony Beauvillier, who over the last 15 games has only one goal, but 9 assists. And that number is pretty huge. 9 assists over 15 games, so 10 points over 15. We're seeing the Beauvillier we've seen before, right? So 10 over 15 is a third, or two-thirds, right? So 0.66 times 82, that's a 55-point player. That's the Beauvillier that we're going, that's the one we want to suss out the entire year. Yep. Just unfortunately, we haven't seen it through the first half.
No, he's another one, almost like Kyle Palmieri, where very, very streaky, but I don't know, maybe this is unfair on my part, but I seem to get more frustrated with Anthony Beauvillier than Kyle Palmieri, because I think maybe it's the ceiling I think could be higher with Bo. Like, I think there's more in the tank where Palmieri, you kind of know what he is at this point.
I think that's it, right? Like, we don't really know what Beauvillier is, and he's giving you one and the other, right? It's like, je peux être un gars 20 points, je peux être un gars 60 points. You're like, pick a lane, Bo. Please pick a lane. And I hope to God it's a 60-point player there and not the 20-point player that I was talking about in French. But, like, please, for the love of God, pick one lane, because we're so frustrated to not know. Which one are you? Which one are you?
Wild.
It is. And that's how I feel with Beauvillier. Just, it's wild to see that swing. And I think that's what you're feeling with Palmieri. So you're like, yeah, he might be shooting at 1.6%. I don't assume that's going to continue. I've seen what he can do. With Beauvillier, you might be like, yeah, 1.6 is a thing, but in 16 games, he might be a 10% point player, or 10% shooting percentage. I don't know.
Yeah, we definitely don't know, but moral of the story, when he's going, he looks very, very good. And look, the Islanders don't have a lot of young, speedy guys, especially on the forward group. So while I am intrigued of potentially using Beauvillier as a trade chip to get a nice lefty defenseman in here, if he plays like this the rest of the way, maybe that takes it down a notch because, well, like I said, the youth movement in the forward group is a little bit necessary here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's not to say that they're ancient, although in the NHL terms, they kind of are. They're one of the oldest teams in the league, if not the oldest, I think, on average. But they need youth to take over. And that's going to be a slow going because of how this team operates in terms of acclimating said youth. But hopefully Beauvillier can take a step up. Or not. Figure out. Just stick to a lane, please. Figure it out. Oh my God, it's so frustrating to be like dangling the 60-point player and the 30-point player, and you're going like, I would really like this one. Can you stay here? And he's like, no, sorry. Yeah,
I don't think so. I want to go ice cold for about 20 games every year.
Just, God damn it.
There's one more guy that I want to bring up, and I'm surprised that this wasn't the one that you brought up last, because he's one of your faves and is growing into one of my faves, and that's Noah Dobson. 11 points in his last 10 games. Was on an incredible incredible point streak that won me some significant cash. It was...
I was going to say, how much money did you make off Noah Dobson?
Enough. Enough, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, he's just been... He's turning into a number one defenseman in front of our eyes, which is just awesome, because we talk about it, I feel like, all the time, but in October, November, he stunk. He wasn't very good. It looked like, okay, like, we were expecting him to take a nice step in year three, like, this is it, this is your real opportunity, and he was getting healthy scratched, he was playing his, you know, Barry Trotz 15 minutes a night, and you're going, dude, I thought we were past this, but it seems like we are now.
It is, and like... We have to... Who injured Ryan Pulock? We have them to thank, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question. I don't remember.
It's whoever injured Ryan Pulock. We have them to thank. Not for injuring Ryan Pulock necessarily, because you don't want to see anyone get hurt, but because Ryan Pulock was forced out, Noah Dobson had to take that role, and he ran with it. He showed the Islanders what he can do, and the Islanders said, like, okay, do it. Let's just see what happens. And he did the damn thing and has not looked back since. That's what unlocked Noah Dobson. You're right. I didn't bring up, just because I thought we'd already talked about it, but clearly we had not. He's on another level, right? Like, since... I think it's since February 1st, only three defensemen have scored 20 points. Cale Makar, Roman Josi, and Noah Dobson.
Insane. Just the fact that his name is in that conversation is just downright insane.
Yeah. And he's, what, he just turned 21 in January, was it? I don't have his birth date in front of me necessarily. I don't remember those things. I have a hard time remembering anything.
22 in January, January 7th.
He just turned 22. He's so young for a defenseman, right? Like, he's not going to peak for another 2 years. Peak. He's not going to be Cale Makar. We know that. But he's going to be like an Alex Pietrangelo, which is great. You'll sign up for Alex Pietrangelo, right, at his peak. That's what we want. And that's what he's been molding his game after for years. And he's turning into that player right before our eyes. And it's fantastic. I love it. I can't wait to see this guy's actual ceiling because we haven't seen it yet.
No, but I mean, 10 goals and 34 points. If you told me, like, just on the year, Noah Dobson, over a full 82-game season, put up 10 goals and 34 points, I would have been like, hell yeah, sign me up for that right now. We're 55 games into the year.
There's still a ways to go, and he's still got a ways to go too, right? Like, he makes gaffes in the defensive zone where he misses coverage, or he forgets a guy, or doesn't see someone coming in. Yep, absolutely. I see it online all the time. Like, people seemingly for no reason at all, like, oh my god, look at the play he missed there. Like, yeah, he's 20 freaking two. Can we relax for a second here? Yes, he's going to make those mistakes. That's what we know happens with rookies. And that's why Barry Trotz takes his time with rookies, because he knows these things are going to happen and he's trying to minimize those. But he's doing the thing offensively. That's something you can't teach, right? When Barry Trotz came in, that's the first thing he said. You can't teach offense like the Islanders have been able to do, but you can teach defense. So what he has to, like, grow into is teachable. What he has isn't. So let's be happy that we've got something that is going to get better, instead of being like, well, I don't like this one thing that we could totally fix within a couple of weeks. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it does feel a little nitpicky. And you're right. He does have those moments and you go, okay, he's not quite there yet. He's close. He's almost at that point. But like you said, he didn't reach his peak yet. And it's obvious. And I don't mean that as a diss to Noah Dobson. He's taken a significant step forward, but it just goes to show that there's even more there.
Yeah. And to be fair, you don't want him to be Cale Makar just yet, because this is a contract year. If he's putting up Vezina numbers this year, there ain't no way we're signing him to a bridge deal. So, like, let's chill a little bit.
No, you still need that two-year, $3 million AAV, and then we could worry about a long-term extension when, I don't know, he's only at that point, I guess, 24, which is still, you'd still be signing him through his prime. But yeah, maybe I would like to get to a bridge deal, and I think Lou does too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's Lou 101 right there. Everyone gets a bridge deal.
Anyway, so that's the last guy that I wanted to bring up. Was there anything else, or you think we hit it all?
I think we hit it all. It's been a complete turnaround for the Islanders. I haven't looked at their record necessarily because it doesn't really matter too much.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too hyped up in terms of like, oh, they're doing the thing. If they do it, fan-freaking-tastic. But for now, I'm just going to focus on, like you are, these individual guys and how their season is trending in a better direction.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. And like I said, I don't think they're going to go on this magical run and make the playoffs, but I think we could just enjoy a much better second half. Like, I don't think it has to be, oh my god, you're ruining the tank, or they're not going to, I don't know, they're not going to catch a playoff spot. Why are you excited? Like, I don't know. I just want to watch a good team. Like, that's fair, right?
That's absolutely fair. Like, it really is. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. And like, I understand it's middle, right? And that's the worst place to be, technically speaking, in North American sports, where you're not drafting a high pick, but you're not making the playoffs either and competing for a championship. But even then, the Islanders aren't drafting anyone that's going to impact this lineup and turn things around next year. They can draft all they want, but like Shane Wright, I don't know if he steps into this lineup and is right away, or it just steps into this lineup. What I should say is this next year, probably, but I don't know. Well, I don't know.
No, but like, look at even like, I don't know, Alexis Lafreniere, like it's taken him a little bit. I'm not calling him a bust or anything. I think he's gotten even better. Like he's gotten better in year two, and I'm sure will as he continues to get older too, but it's not always a lock. And I don't know. Like you said, they're going to tweak the roster. We know they're not blowing it up. We know that they're not going to run it back exactly the same. They're going to make some changes, and that's okay, which I think is a good transition for us as we can talk about next week, the trade deadline coming up. And I feel like this is a topic we've talked about a lot on this show, but it's our last episode before we get to the deadline. So we have to do some final predictions. And Mitch, I don't know if you saw the deal that went down a little while ago before recording, but the market seems to be a seller's market.
Yeah. So the trade you're referencing is Ben Chiarot, or Chiarot, as the Americans pronounce it. I guess he is American, isn't he? I don't know. For some reason, I feel like he's French. Ben Chiarot to Florida for a 2023 first-round pick, unprotected, by the way, a 2022 fourth-round pick, and some B-level prospect that Tyler Simulac or something like that.
That's a pretty good haul for a defenseman who hasn't been very good this year.
His underlying numbers, his overlying numbers, all of his numbers are bad. People say he's a better player. And sure, he's probably better than what he showed because he's on a garbage team in Montreal. But you're talking about a 30-year-old UFA with not very good numbers getting a first, fourth, and sorry, Montreal retains 50% of his $3.5 million cap hit. So his cap hit this year, not that that necessarily means anything, but they retained 50% of whatever salary they're paying from now until the end of April to bring it down to 1.75. That's insane. That's insane that they're paying these amount of assets to get this guy. Bottom pair defenseman. If I'm the Islanders, I'm Lou Lamoriello, I'm shipping Scott Mayfield. I'm calling around. Who wants Scott Mayfield? Because I know I'm getting a first this year, a second, and something.
I was going to say, what do you think his asking price is?
We all like thought like, oh, first plus is great. But like we could that's like Kevin Kerr said that that's where you start. And I thought that like that should be the final landing spot. No, he's dead on. That's where you start. Look, they got a first next year, a fourth just for retaining 50% to bring it down to $300,000 above Scott Mayfield's cap hit this year and next. What the hell are we talking about here?
Yeah, I was going to say this situation is, to me, almost reminiscent of when the Islanders traded Travis Hamonic and they got a massive haul from the Flames. Now, I do, and this is a little bit biased because Hamonic's one of my favorite Islanders ever, but I do think he is probably a better defenseman in his prime than what Scott Mayfield is, but still the cap hit is what makes Scott so valuable that he's at the, was it $145 million mark for, is it next year and the year after or just next year?
Just next year. Okay. So this year and next year.
But still that's insanely valuable to any team.
Yeah. Right. Again, they were willing to give a first round pick and a prospect for just this year or the next 2 months plus whatever playoff run you go on for Ben Chiarot at $300,000 more than Scott Mayfield. You add another year on top of that and the Islanders don't have to retain.
That's true. They don't have to retain anything. And on top of that, sometimes there's cliches around the NHL and in all sports, but specifically with the NHL, NHL GMs love players like Scott Mayfield. Big, physical. Like, that's exactly the kind of defenseman they want to bring into their team to add for a playoff run.
Yeah, they want a guy who's not going to be afraid to cross-check Nikita Kucherov's rib until next Tuesday. Unfortunately, to Nikita Kucherov's rib. But, like, that's what Scott Mayfield does. And GMs effing love it.
Yeah, big physical penalty killer. Play him 20 minutes a night, not have to worry for the most part. He's not going to give you a ton of offense. 16 points in 57 games, which is fine, but big physical, not afraid. Playoff experience now at this point over the last few years, it checks all the boxes.
It checks all the boxes. You can get, I said, a first, a second, and Topi Niemelä from Toronto for him. And some people are like, you might want to look for more. Deal.
Okay.
I had a lot of like, yeah, that's fair, which is great for me. Topi Niemelä is like third, I think, in terms of production in La Liga. And he's a defenseman, left shot defenseman, 6 feet tall, 170 pounds, 19 years old, plays for the Autoratu's former team in the Karpat. Really great. Whenever I speak to the Finnish coach, he's like, I love Topi Niemelä. Love him. He's fantastic. Bring him in, and then you got these two other picks to deal with that you can then send to somewhere else. You don't need to keep the picks. You're bringing them in for asset control to bring, not asset control, assets to get something else in. This is perfect. What are we talking about here?
Right, because even like let's say you have two first-round picks, and let's use Toronto as the example. They are more than likely picking, what, anywhere from 20 to 32, somewhere in that range, more than likely.
Yeah.
So you don't have to draft, use your pick and Toronto's pick in the draft. You could use one of them and trade the other. That might make the most sense because I think you do have to, you know, add to the prospect pool, which is fine. You use a first round pick for that. But then you could also trade for a really damn good player, like, I mean, someone we've brought up a million times, but like Jacob Chychrun.
Yeah. Right. You give Arizona a first round pick. Plus, they're more willing to move him. And now you're more willing to move that first round pick. Because, yeah, while you don't really care that much about the prospect pool, you can't stop caring about it entirely. You got to bring in some quality. It's great that you got Autoratu in the second round. You're not going to find too many of those going forward. So, yeah, absolutely. You keep one of those, but you move the other one. So, as we approach a trade deadline, I don't think they're actually going to move Scott Mayfield because they like him that much. But if I'm Lou Lamoriello, Jesus Christ, when I see a first plus for Ben Chiarot, I'm calling GMs. I'm like, what are you going to give me for Scott Mayfield? How much are you going to give me for Scott Mayfield?
Yeah, I don't know. I there might be some. There might really be something to it. In the next few days, it's crazy to say few days, but it's going to come soon. And Mayfield makes a ton of sense. Is there anyone else outside of Scott Mayfield that you think could be on the move?
Oh, definitely Cal Clutterbuck, without a doubt.
Yeah, when you look at it, and especially since Dion has brought back Austin Zarnik, like that seems to make all the sense in the world, right? But yeah, Clutterbuck, he's another one that NHL GMs would love to add to their team. He has 14 points, which isn't amazing, but he plays bottom 6 minutes. He can kill penalties, physical, playoff experience. He's another one who checks all the boxes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he does everything. Grinds. Like, he's the lowest grit of sandpaper possible. There isn't a grittier player out there. Just perfect for any GM looking for a playoff push that needs something to give them an extra edge. And, you know, gets in people's faces, can be kind of ratty and ratty without having to run in the penalty box constantly. It's surprising how infrequent he's in the penalty box based on the way he plays. That's exactly what GMs want. You're not going to get a ton for him because you're going to have to retain some money, right? Like, he's on 3.5, just like Ben Chiarot. I love saying that. So they might have to hold 50%. But like, all right, cool. We'll hold 50%. That's a fourth round pick, apparently. We're going to get a minimum of fourth round pick just for retaining 50% of Cal Clutterbuck. Awesome.
Right.
Great. Now, fourth plus for Cal Clutterbuck, it seems.
Yeah, maybe that turns into like a second. Maybe.
Yeah, you're going to get second round pick for Cal Clutterbuck? You have to do it.
Right. No, of course. And like you said, like, obviously salary retention plays a factor here, but the Islanders have so much cap space right now that it doesn't matter. They could eat the whole thing practically if they wanted to.
Yeah, it matters nothing. And it doesn't matter for next year. He's a UFA. So he's moving anyway. So who cares? It changes nothing. Move him for a second round pick. Are you kidding me? If he moves for a second round pick, if someone says, can you take 50% of Cal Clutterbuck's contract and I'll give you a second round pick for him? I'm saying yes, and I'm sending the deal. I'll walk it over to the NHL head office.
Oh, no.
From Long Island.
Yeah, agree. And I love Cal Clutterbuck.
Yep.
Agree. I think Cal's been a great Islander, but I think you do it if you're getting a second. Absolutely. And like you said, it's not necessarily about, okay, now we have the second round pick we're going to, you know, spend on a player necessarily, but it's just more ammunition to retool.
Yeah. And who says you don't re-sign Cal Clutterbuck next year for like $1.5 million? That's a fine deal for Cal Clutterbuck at his age. You give him a 1 year, $1.5 million deal, maybe two or three because everyone else on the fourth line got a long-term deal. Yeah, what he absolutely not has to move, but that's someone that you're probably definitely putting that out there. And I would imagine Colorado brings him in. That's the team that is probably going
to
do it.
Yeah, it just seems to make so much sense. I agree. Clutter to, and who knows, maybe he goes on a run and wins the Stanley Cup and then comes right back to Long Island.
But if we get back our second round pick, so imagine that we send, what's his name, Devontae's over for a second round pick, basically. It's not so bad anymore. Well, I guess that's not kind of bad, actually.
Well, no. Well,
we would get 3 second round picks for essentially. No, that's not the way. I'm doing the math wrong in my head because I'm getting excited.
Yeah, that's okay. Agree. That I think even if they did trade Clutterbuck, I wouldn't rule out him coming back and re-signing in the offseason either. Do you think that either Zdeno Chara or Andy Green, I feel like we could loop them together, but do you think either of those guys could get moved?
I think Chara, yes. I don't think Green. And it's not that I don't want them to move Green. It's just they like Green a lot, and I don't think he's quite done yet. Like they roll him out quite frequently. I could see them keeping him as like their old guy in the room type of thing. I could see him staying for one more year. But Chara, we know that this is probably going to be the last run for Chara. And you got to believe he still has something to offer. And so that means he's going to want to go to a contender. And the Islanders are not. So why not get, like, I don't know, a 6th-round pick, 7th-round pick? Who cares for Zdeno Chara? You get anything for that, it's free money.
Yeah, exactly. And I agree if one were to move, and I don't think they move both because, well, I mean, the Islanders still have to finish the rest of the schedule, and who's going to play? But I think Chara would make sense. And again, it kind of goes back to the general manager stereotype, but sometimes it rings true. I feel like the open market would value Chara more so than it would value Andy Green. For one, just the name recognition to begin with, and just, I don't know, legacy-wise. Not that Green doesn't have a good legacy, but I don't know, it's freaking Zdeno Chara.
Yeah, he got his jaw broken, stepped back out on the ice and kept playing. And you have Zdeno Chara coming through the doors, right? You got a team going for a playoff push. Let's say Colorado, right? Because they're a team that's really trying to get it done this year. They've got all the pieces. And you've got a team, you're in the locker room, and 6'9", Zdeno Chara steps through the room and you're going, let's go. You're fired up. You know he's not going to be playing 30 minutes or whatever he was in his prime. But you got Zdeno Chara stepping out there to give you that extra boost. That's going to give you a boost because he knows what to do. He's a larger than life presence, literally. Yeah. That's huge for a team. And you paid nothing to bring that in. Whatever emotional boost he brings is worth whatever draft pick you're sending out, because you're not sending out something that's particularly high.
No, I would think maybe, like you said, like a 7th or something like that. But I'm fine just getting whatever back for him. It's like, okay, we tried it. The one guy that you might agree with me here, the one guy that I don't think I would like to move who could be moved is Zach Parise. Selfishly, I would like to keep him. I would also like to give him another contract, please. Like, what's his name? Was it Logan Couture? Did he sign a contract midseason? No, I always mix them up. Joe Pavelski.
Thomas Hertl?
No.
Very different player. Yes.
Yes. But I mean, former Shark. I don't know why I always mix the two of them up.
Same team makes it. You only see the jersey in your face, right, when you're trying to remember things?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So he signed an extension for next year. Obviously, he's been a little bit more productive than Parise has, but I love Parise's game. I do not want to lose him, and I would love to have him back on the third line next year.
If he's willing to stay, bring him back. And I'm sure he is. I don't see why he wouldn't. But if he doesn't want to have to, like, go to a contender necessarily, then yeah, definitely running back another year. Like, he is an excellent player. Not like in terms of top six, but bottom six player. One of the better ones in the league, without question. There's no doubt. He's excellent. His detail is great. His work ethic is great. The production is starting to come up too. It's just... It'd be so good to have someone like that and whatever retool they've got going on. Yeah, absolutely bring him back another year. But if they can get a second round pick for him, who says he doesn't come back too?
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, that's a good point. Maybe he would come back, but I don't know. Like I said, it's a little selfish, but honestly, like, I know this sounds crazy because there's so many more important players in front of him. He's been one of my favorite players to watch this year. Top three for sure.
Yeah, no, without a doubt, from start to finish. And I know some people will say, like, well, the production wasn't there at the start. Yeah, absolutely. But the way he played, the production should have been there. And then you look at the numbers, it should have. The fact that it wasn't, you're like, wow, he's clearly unlucky because he's doing enough to produce enough. It's just not going in for him. But, like, he has been fantastic from the second the puck has dropped on the year.
And even with his unlucky streak at the start of the year, he's still going to give you 35 points probably.
Who doesn't want that for league minimum? League minimum.
Leo Komarov couldn't do that over 3 years if you gave him an opportunity.
Right? So, like, it's just, you got to do it. I'm just laughing because I know what you're trying to do there. Well, they're both different players, but, like, Leo was signed to, like, slap people on the bench, basically.
I know, and it was very expensive. But he was the last third-line left wing. I know they're very different players, but I'm going to draw that comparison. Because it makes me feel good, and Parise is better.
Yeah, and like those slaps, right? Leo seems to know how to slap someone. Not too hard, not too soft, you know, just enough to get the energy going. That's worth $100,000 to slap, at least.
It has to be. Easy.
Because the way I do it, it's all right in there. Just right like that. Like, I'm not holding anything back. That's worth maybe 10 grand in an NHL team, because I'm going to hurt someone.
Yeah, you might accidentally injure someone, which will be detrimental, and then you'll be on the taxi squad.
Yeah, so that's no good to anyone. Leo knows exactly the perfect weight for a slap. That's why you pay him the big bucks.
Love it. So with that, I think we can probably move into down on the farm, right? I feel like we've talked about enough of these trades.
Let us do that. So there's three things here, though, that I want to bring up that I noted down at least, or two things, I should say. The NCAA season is essentially over. There's still kind of, and when I mean over, I mean for the Islanders prospect pool, that is. Because no one else is really in it. They all lost in their, I'm going to say divisional, but it's really more conferences, their conference tournaments. There's only one team, I think, that has an Islanders prospect that could be in the Frozen Four tournament, and that's Notre Dame with Jacob Pavanka. Their strength of schedule and result of schedule should get them in the tournament. I don't think they'll go far. But that's the only other player within the Islanders prospect pool who plays in the NCAA that might still be playing in the next couple of weeks. Outside of that, they're all done. So now it's, are the Islanders going to sign any of these guys to a pro deal? And who was it going to be? Because at this point, they've got, what, four or five guys? Let me just count them out. Alex Jeffries, Logan Cockrell, Cameron Berg, Christian Krieger, Jacob Pavanka. Yeah, and Ben Mirages, but, like, we all know what happened there. So they've got five guys, and Misha Song, but, like, again, lols. So they got five guys that are essentially up. And, again, Notre Dame is still playing probably for a little bit. So let's really round it down to four between these next couple of podcasts. Which one out of Jeffries, Berg, Krieger, and Cockrell are they going to sign right away? I could think of one.
Yeah, the last one would make the most sense now.
He wears a captain. He's a captain for BU. So right there and then, you know the Islanders are signing him.
Yeah, that's good. You talked about your slaps being worth 10 grand. A captain, that's got to be worth probably at least 500 thou, right?
At least a three-year ELC.
I love it. But yeah, that one seems to make the most sense. The other three you think is up in the air? Coin flip, maybe?
Well, definitely not Cameron Berg, because this is his first year. So they're not going to sign him. Good year. But they're not going to sign him after 1 year. Alex Jeffries, only year two. Also, good-ish year. Slow start, but sophomore slump type of thing. So they're not going to sign him. They're in no rush to do so. And then we have Christian Krieger, who's in year four. Will he go back for year five with MSU? I don't necessarily think so. I think he's probably going to go pro now. And I could see them sign the big left-hand defenseman. And we'll see where that goes. But I don't project him to be an NHLer, but, you know, maybe under the Bridgeport Islander system, maybe he turns into one. Just a physical, no-nonsense type of defensive defenseman.
Yeah, it's worth a shot, I think.
Yeah, why not? You got, I think it's a fifth-round pick, if I remember correctly. You got nothing to lose. We'll sign him to an ELC. You're paying him like $70,000. What is that exactly? Like, you earmark that money when the season starts anyways. So who cares?
Right.
And the last thing that I wanted to bring up was on Williams Full, because Peter Schwartz wrote about him today. Today being March 16th. If you haven't gone to it, just go to Peter's timeline on Twitter. We all know who Peter Schwartz is. But go to, you know what? I'm going to get his Twitter handle just in case someone doesn't know.
I think it's Schwartz on
Sports. Off the top of my head. It is Schwartz. It's just Schwartz Sports.
Ah, okay. Sorry.
There you go. And Schwartz is spelled S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. He's interviewed William Zafold just the other day, and William gave a pretty good indication of where he's going this year, and that's pro. His, I want to play for Bridgeport. Like, that's basically what he said. Paraphrasing just a little bit. He's willing to go pro, and like, this kid is just absolutely dominating the QMJHL. It's not even funny.
It's time. He did all he can there. It's time. He's got to move up a level.
Yeah, so he's willing to do that. Apparently his mom really monitors the social for him. He doesn't really kind of follow it too much. He's on social. I forget what his handle is. Not that it matters, because he's not necessarily going to respond to anyone. But his mom definitely is, and his mom lets him see whatever's going on there, which is fun to see.
Love that. Maybe he's seen some of your tweets.
I think so. I follow his mom, and we interact every now and again. She's a nice lady. I asked Peter how the interview went, because when I spoke to William, we only spoke in French. I didn't do it in English because I thought it'd just be more comfortable for him. And he's like, "Hey, English is fine. What are you talking about?" And like, I always forget, like, English and French isn't that big of a deal. But from where I am, you have families that they just speak French and they do not speak English. And so I just wondered if that was kind of the same situation. And it clearly was not.
Interesting. See, I wish I could speak multiple languages. I'm as dumb as a brick. I can't. I can barely type and talk into a microphone. That's about where I tap out.
Dude, I just talked myself into like giving ourselves back a second round pick in the whole Devon Pace thing, and you're saying you're dumb as a brick?
Listen, we're not a math podcast. We've never claimed once to be a math podcast.
That wasn't even math. That was just like simple reasoning, and I couldn't even do that.
It's okay. We got confused. It's all right.
Fair enough. So that's all I've really got for Down on the Farm. There's not a whole lot more going on as it speaks. Like, seasons are starting to wind down. So we're going to start to see either some signings and some players coming in, but things to look forward to here in the prospect pool.
Yeah, love it. So with that, shall we get to the quiz?
Let's do it.
Oh, I did it again. Wrong button. Hang on. Please hold. That was on me.
As we do every week, I have a mystery New York Islander for you, Matt, and you at home to guess. You've got 5 clues to guess who they are. They get progressively easier as we go. Are you ready, Matt?
Let's do it.
This is not a Spiz special. This one comes out of my own.
Oh boy! All right.
Noodle noggin. So it's not going to be as good. One. I was drafted in the 4th round. By who? I'm not telling you.
Okay. Next.
2. I was drafted by my hometown team.
Oh, okay. Drafted by the hometown team. Okay, next.
3. My first point in the NHL came in my first game, and my first goal came in my second game at the NHL level.
Hometown. This should be obvious, but it's not coming to me. All right. Next.
4. I scored and I got into a fight in my first game with the Islanders.
Oh, JG Peugeot.
Yes, sir. There you go. 5 was I, meaning me, go to great and unjustifiable lengths in order to pronounce his full name in French. Jean-Gabriel Peugeot.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Anytime we can get you to say a French Canadian name, I will go for it. Or even like Ben Sherratt, you wanted to say it French, and then you the way you emphasized it in American, it was just excellent.
Ben Sherratt, Chériot. I don't even know if he's French. I don't think he is, actually, now that I think about it. Isn't he from like Maine? I think he's from Maine because Thomas is from Maine and loves Ben Sherratt. Hamilton. Not even. He's not. I think he went to maybe like the University of Maine or something like that. And that's why Thomas likes him so much.
Interesting.
But yeah, so that's Ben Sherratt. And that's the one now is Jean-Gabriel Pajot.
There we go. Love it. Let's get into the social segment. We'll see what's going around on Isles Twitter this week. Mitch, what do you got for us?
My first one comes from Isles on MSG Plus. I think we all know who they are. And it's a video of a good guy, hashtag Isles fan, and he's rocking the Johnny Boychuk wave jersey. He catches a puck and just like walks like 5 to 10 seats over to give the puck to a kid. Like, it's not just the kid was directly next to him. He like found a kid. Here you go. Classy AF right there.
Love it. That is that's good stuff. Glad he got recognized on TV too, because that just made that kid's life. He's going to remember that forever.
Yeah. Johnny Boychuk even saw it, who replied to the MSG with a hug, wink, and whatever, hands emoji. I don't know what that is. A bunch of emojis did Johnny Boychuk reply to that.
Love it. Good. Love getting Johnny B back in the mix. I know he wasn't only an Islander, but he is very much an honorary Long Island Islander.
Absolutely. Love Johnny B. Love him.
My next one comes from Brian Costello. And he actually covers the New York Jets, but it'll all loop together in a second. He says, Jets are bringing back offensive lineman Dan Feeney on a one-year deal, according to a source. So that means come next year, he could be at UBS Arena just smashing the beers on his head. What do we think?
Love it. I love it. As long as he keeps the mullet. It's the part of the whole look, the mustache, the mullet, and the beer, you know, smashing a Coors Light over his head. Love it.
It's his whole gimmick. I mean, he's not... I don't really want him starting any games, but I want him to be at UBS smashing beers on his head all the time.
Yeah. Locker room guy, right? He's a guy that, you know, glue guy type of thing. Oh. Just keeps the guys together. Nice and breezy.
Huge glue guy.
So, love it. My next one here comes from at TJK_9000, who says, Josh Bale E versus the haters. I don't know if you saw this, but it's a gif of a guy trying to jump over a bale of hay rolling down a hill. And that guy absolutely gets like tossed head over feet. Like, I think he does 2 flips when he gets hit by this bale of hay. It's hilarious. Mainly because I'm a Bailey supporter and thinking of this happening to some Bailey haters. Obviously, this guy is not injured. Makes me laugh.
It does. It was funny. It was a good tweet. I did see it. And it did get a chuckle out of me. And I like sticking it to the haters. Just because it's fun.
It is. And like, they always come back. Like, he has one bad shift. Josh Bailey was bad his entire career. And you're going like, he had a bad shift. Yes, he's bad this year. That does not mean the 4 to 5 previous years were bad. That's not how this works. That's not how time works. Unbelievable that we're starting to have these debates forever.
Yeah.
If his jersey gets, not even jersey, but like if he even gets into the Islanders Hall of Fame, every time we go to the UBS, I guarantee you there's going to be someone going like, stupid number 12.
Yes.
Every time.
Scoffing at it as they walk past.
Without question. It's just never going to stop.
My last one comes from Chris Botta. And he does a really cool podcast where he interviews a lot of people in the industry. And he was speaking with Brendan Burke. And it's a clip of Brendan talking about when he was hired for the Islanders job. And it's just... I'm going to summarize it, but I definitely recommend you going on and checking it out. But essentially, he went to a Met Yankee game with John Ledecky. That was like his final, I guess, stage. So he watched the game with him and they had a conversation. He's like, it went really well. I thought I'd hear from him the next day. And then a couple days go by and he's starting to get a little bit nervous. And then he gets the call. And instead of calling his wife, he gets in the car and drives to her job, and she's a nurse, and just, you know, goes in, and she's like, what the hell are you doing here? And then he just smiles and she knew what happened. So I thought it was just a really cool story, and it's a cool podcast too, so definitely worthwhile to check out.
That is cool, right? He's incredible play-by-play guy. Insane. When they hired him, when I heard the voice the first time, when I was like, if this guy doesn't stick around, I'm going to lose it, because his voice is perfect. And it has been an insane ride ever since.
He does. And I mean, I nerd out kind of over this stuff, but his pacing is just really good. He's very, very good at what he does. And Islanders are lucky to have him.
Absolutely. My last one here comes from at Real Isles Pride, who says Jean Potvin was in the Isles radio booth with Bob Lawrence when Bobby Nice scored the OT goal that fateful day back in 1980, and inadvertently did the first ever yes chant in Islanders history. So this is because Jean Potvin unfortunately passed away, we found out yesterday. And if you watch the video, he does indeed say yes, yes, yes after Bobby Nice scores that OT goal against Philly. Chills thinking about that. Insane. I walked by the mural today to pay my respects here in Ottawa. I'm kind of gutted, not just as an Islanders fan, but as a Vanier person or someone who lives in Vanier, because the Pod fans mean a lot to us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I listened to that call, and you're right, it was a yes, yes, yes chant, and he's going to be missed. He's obviously, you know, one of the original Islanders and someone who's going to be remembered for a very, very long time. So condolences to the Potvin family, and Jean's going to be missed.
Yeah, Jean will be missed. So that's it. That's the final thing. Let's end it on a little bit of a downer, huh?
Unfortunately. So wherever you are listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and a review. It really helps us out a lot. You could follow along with us on socials at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. I'm Matt O'Leary, NY. Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could download the Fansided app. Get us there. EyesOnIsles.com for all the articles. And last but not least, a Patreon. $5 a month gets you bonus content like post-game podcasts, a mailbag show, which we're about to record, and a Discord channel of Islanders fans. It's a ton of fun over there.
Always fun. We're talking about the Ben Sherratt trade right now. This is a wild return. Wild return when you consider we got Scott Mayfield just kind of there. Let's do it.
Yep, absolutely. So that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.